Thank you, James, for those, and Carter, for those songs. Ancient words, ever true, changing you, changing me. It's an awesome privilege to come together as a body, to worship, to sing together, to pray together, to come before a holy God. Who not only suggests that we be holy, but demands that we be holy. The title of the message this morning says, God, are you listening? As far as the text, there will be many verses. I encourage you to jot them down and read them on your own sometime this coming week. Well, I believe in these last days, it's important that we as Christians have our engines tuned. A lot of you know what it means, or what the importance of having a fine-tuned engine is to run properly, to be efficient. And I believe as Christians, we need to be on top of our game as believers. And the area I'd like to talk about this morning is the area of prayer. You know, in prayer, we show our total dependence on God as our source of life, as a giver of life. We show our total dependence that without Him we can do nothing. He created all things. By Him all things exist. We give Him praise. We give Him honor. We give Him our adoration in prayer as we come before Him. We give our reverence for His greatness, for His goodness, for His blessings. We recognize Him as the source of all blessings. Everything we have comes from Him. Without Him we are nothing. It's also a place where we pour our hearts out to God. In Romans 10:1, Paul talks about my heart's desire is that these people would be saved as he comes before the Lord. It's a place where we come, we pour out our hearts to God. Wednesday night prayer meeting, we had James led us in praying for our church, for our community, and for beyond, around the world. And we poured our hearts out to God, our concerns for the requests that were made. And we come before Him on behalf of the burdens of our hearts. We come to Him to ask God to search our hearts. We come before Him and say, God, search me, know my heart, and root out all evil. And I don't know about you, but we grow up believing that we pray to God, He answers us. Which is true. Matthew 7:8 says, knock, seek, and you shall find. Hebrews 4:6 tells us to come boldly before the throne of God. We're encouraged to come boldly before His throne. And there's other verses that we could mention. And we go on believing in our prayer life that we ask God, we put our quarter in, and out comes an answer. It's a basketball term that's a slam dunk. But there comes a point in our life sometimes that we feel that God is silent. And we say, God, are you listening? Can you hear me? Do you even care? Do you even care about me, that I exist? Maybe I'm just a pawn on the chessboard. And at times, I can even become cynical and say, you know, God, you know everything. You're in control of everything. What good does it matter if I even do pray? 3 points this morning: stop, look, and listen. I want us to stop there and to think about what could be the problem when we say, God, are you listening? I believe the scripture is clear and gives us insight into that question. God, are you listening? And Daniel talks about a delay in answers to prayer, where he says, I sent it. But for 21 days it was delayed because of the spiritual battle that was going on. That's a part of prayer life, battling through the spiritual warfare. There could be a delay in the answer because what you ask for God doesn't have that in his plan for you at this time. It could be a delay. It could be it's not his will for you. We read in Corinthians where Paul says, I prayed three times for God to take this away. And he said, no, that my grace is sufficient for you. And there's many times we pray and we ask God to take it away. Take it away, Lord. And sometimes the answer comes back, I will be your strength and your weakness. There's times we pray for selfish reasons. I go by a truck lot sometimes and full of new trucks. You know, somebody's buying those trucks. Lord, it'd be nice if I could buy one of those trucks. You know, sometimes our motives aren't necessarily pure. Sometimes we're selfish in our motives, in our prayers. But there's something this morning I'd like us to consider that God says about our prayers. God says, I will not hear your prayers. God says, I will not listen to your prayers. God said there's some things that hinder your prayers. And God says, your prayers are an abomination to me. God, are you listening? You've all probably had the experience of picking your cell phone up and talking. And after a while, you're waiting for a response and you get nothing. And you got disconnected. You're talking to nobody. Sometimes in our prayer life, we feel like our prayers are only going to the ceiling. We ask God, are you listening? And the above mentioned reasons could be some of the reasons, but I'd like us to consider the last reason I talked about, why he won't hear, why he won't listen to our prayers. So let's look. Let's look into Scripture to see what he has to say. I believe there's Scripture talks about there's people's prayers that God will not hear. You can turn to these or you can write them down. Isaiah 59, 1 through 3 says, Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that he cannot save, nor his ear heavy, that he cannot hear. But your iniquity has separated you from God. Your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, and your tongue has uttered perversely. Scripture tells us that there's times that there's things in our lives that are blocking us from connecting to God in prayer, our iniquities. The story is told of Norman Vincent Peale. He is the editor of the Guidepost magazine. Some of you older people will remember that. You young people probably will say, who's he? But he was the editor of the Guidepost magazine. He tells a story when he was a little boy that he was walking in an alley and he picked up a big fat cigar he found. And he lit it and began to smoke it. He said it didn't taste very good, but it made him feel grown up until he saw his dad walking towards him. Quickly tried to hide it behind his back, and as his dad neared, he pointed to a picture of a circus, an advertisement on the alley wall of the building, and said, Dad, can we go? I want to go to the circus. He said, my dad said something I will never forget. He said, son, never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide some smoldering disobedience. That was pretty quick-witted to find out what he was doing. He knew he was smoking. He knew he was disobeying. He said, never make a petition while at the same time trying to hide some evidence. How many times are we guilty of the same thing? We come before a holy God who calls us to be holy with iniquity in our lives. Iniquity is deviation from the right path. We come before God with iniquity in our lives, asking for things, for blessings, for God to pour out his spirit in our lives. And behind our back, we're holding a smoldering cigar. Not literally, but we have things in our lives that God says, how can I hear your prayer? We make choices. We deviate from the right path. The iniquity separate us from God. How sad that we would allow something in our life that would separate us from fellowship with God. of communicating with God. Sin separates God and man, and it becomes an obstacle in our prayers. And unconfessed sin in our lives will hinder our prayers, will keep our prayers from being answered. Psalm 66, 16 through 20 says, "Come and hear, all who fear God, and I will tell him of what he has done in my soul. I cried out to him with my mouth, and he was exalted with my tongue." Now get this. "If I had regarded wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard. He has given heed to my voice and my prayer. And blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his loving kindness from me." It's clear that if I cherish sin in my heart, that God will not hear my prayer. I want to be clear this morning that if you feel that God is silent or is not hearing your prayer, or you're experiencing a lull in your prayer life, that you don't right away jump to say that is sin. But I want us to consider that it could be. There could be things in our life that are blocking our prayers from going to the Heavenly Father. The word cherish there means to hold on to. It's not an accidental sin where we haphazardly fall into something, but it's holding on to our sin. We're milking it for all it's worth. We're holding on to it. We're harboring it. We're playing with it. We're using it for our advantage to hurt people or to do something for our advantage. Scripture says if we're harboring that sin in our lives, God will not hear our prayers. It could be arrogance. It could be pride. It could be lust. It could be unforgiveness. It could be holding a grudge. It could be covetousness, which today we call keeping up with the Joneses. We can go to prayer meeting every Wednesday night. We can pray every morning. We can pray every night. If we're cherishing some sin in our life, Scripture is clear that God will not hear our prayers. Jeremiah 14:10 through 12. "Thus says the Lord to this people, thus they have loved to wander. Their feet are not restrained. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will remember their iniquity now and punish their sins. Then the Lord said to me," this is the Lord speaking to Jeremiah. He says, "Do not pray for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer their burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. I will consume them with the sword, by the famine, and by pestilence." What a sad state of people. That God will not hear their cries. He will not accept their worship. Says God, "I will not hear." God will not hear them. And it's a place of complacency, where they want the blessings from God in our lives, but we don't want to change. We don't want to do the change God asks us to do. We want his approval on our own terms. God says, don't even pray for this people, because their cry is for the consequences of their sin and not a cry of repentance. And I had to think how true it is today in our lives, where we wander from the truth, we wander from his word. Our feet are not restrained, and we cry because of the consequences of our choices and not for the repentance of our sins. The second thing he says, "I won't hear," is because of your idol worship. There are many things. There's more. I have six here this morning. There's a few more that I found, but I want to talk about six of them. The second one is, "I won't hear because of your idol worship." Jeremiah 11:11 to 14. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will surely bring calamity on them, which they will not be able to escape. Though they cry to me, I will not listen to them. The cities of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem will go and cry out to the gods of whom they offer incense, but they will not be saved but they will not save them at all in the time of their trouble. For according to the number of their cities were your gods, O Judah, and according to the number of the streets of Jerusalem, ye have set up altars to the shameful things, altars to burn incense to Baal. So do not pray for this people, or lift up cries or prayers for them, for I will not hear them in the time they cry out for me because of their trouble. Again, God is saying, if you have idols in your life, here he's talking to Israel, who had sacrificed to idols, who have strayed from worshiping the true God. And he says, you're going to offer your incense to me, your prayers to me, but I won't hear you because you're worshiping other gods. And again, notice how he says, don't even pray for them, because their cries are because of the consequences of their sins and not because their cry of repentance. How sad. God says, I will have no other gods before me. And how sick it is to think of a people, that a God who has given his life for us, we turn and serve other idols, we turn and serve other gods, and then we expect God to hear our prayers and hear our cries. It's a picture of a sick people with their heart bent on doing evil. You may say, well, I don't have any idols in my life. I'm not worshiping anything in my home. I don't have a picture of a God on the wall that we bow down to. And that's true, we don't. But there's things in our lives that become idols, that are our idols. Wednesday night, James talked about how fear can become an idol. And the things we fear become idols in our lives. And how we... Yeah, for example, if I fear what the government may do or a financial collapse, and I focus my energy, my time on what's going to happen if the government collapses or if I lose my money, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And my time and energy is consumed on focusing on that, not on focusing on God, and it becomes an idol in my life. And it controls me, it consumes me, and it becomes an idol. And there's many other things we could mention that could be idols in our lives that demand our worship, our attention. Things that are more important to God. Or that we would cry out to God and say, God, open my eyes. Are there idols in my heart, in my lives, in my life, that you're not hearing my cry? The third thing, God won't hear when we refuse to hear godly counsel. And that's in Proverbs chapter 1. I won't read it. It's the whole first chapter there. It talks about refusing to hear the counsel of our parents. We've all been in those situations where we didn't want to hear from our parents. And they just didn't get it. And we refused to hear their counsel. There's times when godly men our lives and speak truth into our lives. We brush it off and say, that's your opinion. That's what you think. God gives a strong rebuke to us who will not hear godly counsel. So what's it look like today for us to refuse godly counsel? It probably looks different to each of us. Probably people have spoken into your life, speaking truth into your life. What do you do with it? Later on in the Proverbs there, it talks about, you've hated knowledge. You didn't want to learn about me. And you chose not to fear me. So when you call to me, I'm not going to hear you. God places a high priority, high value on hearing from other people, hearing from godly people that he's placed in your life. I won't hear your prayers if you won't receive godly counsel. The fourth thing he says I won't hear is when you won't forgive. And I don't know about you, but it hits me pretty square. We live in a world where there's a lot of hurt, We live in a world with a lot of pain. We live in a world where people cause a lot of hurt, and people cause a lot of pain in people's lives, in our lives. Many unjust things have happened. I think recently of the boy who was taken captive off the school bus, took into an underground bunker, that autistic boy down in Kentucky, Alabama, somewhere. Now he's in there for 4 or 5 days, maybe 6 days it was. And all the family, I don't know if they're believers or not, but what they have to work through to forgive the abductor. There's things that happen to each one of us that God calls us to forgive. And God says, if you have unforgiveness in your heart, if you're holding on to something you're not going to forgive, God says, I won't hear your prayer. In Matthew 6:12, it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So God says, as we forgive our fellow men, I will forgive you. In Matthew 5:23-24, it says, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and remember your brother has something against you, what's he tell you to do? He says, leave your gift there at the altar and go to your brother and try to make that right with your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Why is it so important? Why does God care about forgiveness? Because God has forgiven us so much. He's offered us so much forgiveness and mercy. And then when we hold on to our little things that people do to us, not little, some of them are big, and we hold those grudges, God says, I can't hear your prayer if you're not going to forgive others. But it's something we all have to deal with. It's something that is real. It hurts in our lives. It's one of the toughest battles we'll face. But I believe when we can forgive our brothers and sisters, what has happened to us is when the oil of healing will begin to be poured out into our hearts and to heal the wounds that have been caused in our lives. I think of the ungrateful servant, how he was forgiven a little bit and went and took that man and threw him in prison and then told him to pay. The Heavenly Father said, brought harsh judgment on that man, threw him in prison. And that's how our Heavenly Father will treat us. We'll be in a prison of unforgiveness if we don't forgive our brothers and sisters. We'll be in that prison. We'll think we're actually on top of it, but the unforgiveness is a prison to us and keeps us bound. If we're in that prison, God will not hear our prayers. The fifth thing God talks about is He calls our prayers an abomination. And Proverbs 28, verse 9. One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. The idea here is being willingly ignorant. How many ever heard of the term, as ignorance is bliss? Don't tell me the truth. Don't confuse me with the facts. I have my mind made up. I don't want to know the truth. Because with knowledge comes responsibility. The more responsible we are, the more knowledge we have, the more responsible we are. You hear a phrase like, I'm enjoying what I'm doing. It feels good for the moment. And God looks at that kind of a person with disgust, and He calls it an abomination. What a pitiful situation to be on the end, the receiving end of what God calls an abomination. I can't think of anything more hopeless. In 1 Peter 3, it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Can you think of anything more hopeless than to have the Lord against you? The sixth thing, our prayers are hindered, can be hindered by the way we treat our wives, husbands. By the way we treat our wives. 1 Peter 3:7 says, husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding. Give honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. What an awesome responsibility we have husbands had. This week was Valentine's, and I'm pretty sure you did your special, whatever you did for your wife. I see there Emma has a flower on, and there's other expressions of love I'm sure you guys did to make your wife feel special. You know, it's important to God that we as husbands treat our wives with honor and respect. The word giving there, it says to give honor. The word giving has to do with portioning off. When you have a road construction, you have a hole in the ground, you portion that off with a rope. No one's allowed in there. It's a designated spot. We have handicapped spots that are designated for handicapped people. And the word to give talks about, we as husbands, that is a place in our hearts we block off for our wife and only her. It's a place specially for her and no one else. And honor has to do with being precious, as a precious jewel. I think of, I'm not sure if it was a youth or someone was down at Camp Andrews, and they gave the guys a rose, and they had to go through an obstacle course holding on to this rose. And this rose represented, I think, was their wife-to-be, or I forget all the details. But the idea was they were to take this rose and to carry it and to not let anything happen to that rose. They were to protect it. They were to keep it perfect and not let it get ruined. Now think of that as to give honor to our wives, the courtesy we extend to them, the kindness, the respect we show to them. As then it talks about as a weaker vessel, not spiritually, not intellectually, but physically, to honor them, to give, to honor them as the weaker vessel, not mentally, not spiritually, but physically. And as being, he talks about dwell with them with understanding, give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. This was written during a time when women were put down as the lower class. And also in every other religion, the Christian, the woman is a lower class than the male in every other religion. But as Christians, spiritually, we are all on the same plane. They have the right to all the blessings and all the benefits of being a believer. They have the right to the throne of God to come to Him in prayer. They have the right to eternal life. As heirs together for the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So rhetorically, they're saying that if we're not showing honor to our wife, if we're not treating them with respect, if we're not giving them the proper place as heirs together of the grace of life, God says your prayers are going to be hindered. So think about it. Do you treat her with respect? Are there bickerings, jealousies, contentions between you? Are there times when, you know, things aren't going well? Are there strife in your marriage? Irritability? Are you uneven tempered? Do you give harsh looks and harsh words? You take offense easily? Are you unwilling to forgive? God says if we want our prayers to be heard, we need to show respect and honor to our wives. The third point is to listen. We stopped. We looked what God said about our prayers being hindered. Now let's listen to what God has to say to us. If God were to not hear the prayers of those who have sinned in their lives, none of us would be heard. God wouldn't hear any of our prayers. But I believe that if we persist willingly in sin, if we persist in our sins, our prayers will not be heard. I don't believe it's those times when we fall into sin that our prayers aren't heard. I believe it's when we persist willingly in holding on to and practicing sins. If our answer to prayer depending on our worthiness to be heard, none of us would be heard. But we need to come to God humbly. We need to come to God and ask for mercy and grace. I want to leave with you this morning that there is hope. The one we serve, that as long as time goes on, there is forgiveness when we come to Him in repentance. I want to read Isaiah chapter 1. I want you to pick out a few verses here, and starting verse 10. Before that, he talks about how their sacrifices had begun to stink to him, how he did not delight in their offerings, in their sacrifices. It says, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand, to tramp out my courts, bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is abomination to me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity of the sacred meeting. Your new moon, your appointed feasts, my soul hates. You are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stand and spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear you. Your hands are full of blood. But listen to the heart of God. It says, wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away your evil, your doing before my eyes. Cease from doing evil. Learn to do good. I see the picture of God who is pouring out his heart to his people. He says, I'm tired of your double life. You're serving idols, you're sacrificing to idols, but you come to me with your offerings. He says, I will not hear your prayers. Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Aren't you glad that as God will hear the prayer of a repentant sinner's heart, to who comes to him for prayer? You know, many cry because of the consequences of their choices. Many cry to God because of the consequences of their choices. But not many cry for repentance of their sins. And that's where my heart, that's where I want to be. Where I cry before God because of my sins and come to Him in repentance. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. What an awesome promise. That if we confess, He will forgive and purify us from all unrighteousness. The verse that is up on the wall to pray for our nation, 2 Chronicles 7:14, says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sins and heal their lands. When we come to God in humility and repentance, God hears our prayers, He forgives our sins, and He heals our lands. He heals our hearts. There's a number of promises I want to leave with you. James 5:17 says, the fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Notice he said the fervent prayer of a righteous man. Didn't say a perfect man. He didn't just say a man, but a righteous man. A man who is in right standing before God availeth much. We could turn to Luke 9:14, where it talks about the tax collector and the Pharisee. The Pharisee who prayed in public to be heard of men. He said, you will have your reward. But the tax collector didn't even raise his eyes towards heaven. It says he beat his chest and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. With a spirit of humility, and God gave him mercy. Another verse is Hebrews 4:16 says, God says, come with all confidence, come boldly before the throne of grace, and you will find mercy in time of need. Come boldly. I don't know what you think of when it says boldly, but sometimes we can picture a man running up to someone and grabbing him by the collar and just being real bold and blunt. But I don't see that as what God wants to come to him. I believe boldly means with all confidence. We come to God with confidence, not irreverently, not flippantly, but we come to him with confidence that he will hear us. We come to him in faith. James 1:6-7 says, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. Talks about our faith in coming to him, not doubting. It says, the flip side of that is if we do doubt, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. Come with him in faith and confidence. 1 Peter 3:12 says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Again, the word righteous, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. Another verse we hear a lot of is John 5:14 says, if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. And there's a large scope of what his will is. You know, he loves to hear our prayer for forgiveness. He loves to hear our prayer for sanctification, for comfort in trials, for need to, for him to supply all our needs, for him to direct us and give us wisdom, for him to deliver us from evil. But the expression of asking according to his will is putting our faith and trust in God and says, whatever you see best for me, Lord, that's what I want. I don't want what you don't want for me. Whatever you see necessary, Lord, according to your will, let it be done. A prayer of a humble heart. In closing, I believe God wants to do great things in our lives. We want him to fill us with his presence. We want him to be the wind in our sails. We want him to lead us and direct us and guide us. We want to come to him in mercy, for mercy and grace. We want to come to him in asking for intercession for our brothers and sisters. We want to come to him to pour out our hearts. But what a tragedy it is if there's something in our life that's blocking that prayer. What a tragedy. I had to think of the number of people here who had open heart surgery. I think of Norman and Loyal, and my dad recently, last number of years. How the veins in their leading to their heart began to close up and restrict blood flow to their hearts. And if that continued, it would starve the heart of blood, and they would have a heart attack. And I think of that, picture that in relationship to in our prayer life to God. As we talked about things that God will not hear or hinder our prayers and block that prayer flowing to God, that there are things in our life that block that, that hinder our prayers from reaching the Father. And as that continues, and that continues to squeeze out our prayers and our connection to our Father. And eventually, we won't be able to come through God with our offerings, with our praises. But God does hear the prayer of a repentant heart. And he will clean out those arteries. And we will have a free-flowing relationship with God again. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitfully and above all things desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, you and I sit here and we say, Lord, or we say, I don't really see anything in my heart. But my prayer is that we would be like Psalmist David in Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways, and see if there be any wicked thing in there. Lord, look in my heart. Be an inspector. See if there's things that are blocking my heart. And Lord, point them out to me. May your Spirit reveal them to me. And Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. What a blessing it is to have that free communication to the Father, to be able to commune with Him, to pour out our hearts to Him. But what a tragedy. There are things that are blocking that. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word and the promises in your word. We thank you for your faithfulness. Lord, we thank you for the avenue of prayer that we can come to you and to pour out our hearts, and you will hear us. But Lord, we're reminded this morning that there's things that block our prayers to you, our iniquities, Lord, the idols of not hearing godly counsel, not treating our wives with respect. Lord, there's look in our heart. Purify our hearts, Lord. See if there's any wicked way in our heart and reveal that to us. Lord, I pray that your Spirit work in our hearts, that you would cleanse us from any way, any evil way. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today, what you're going to do in our lives. We give you all the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.